Any more prayer requests? Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? I leave Monday in the morning, yeah. The communion is something that God gave to us for our healing. And I just can't stress to you the importance of the Holy Communion. And Jesus told us, he said, take this as often as you will. You know, we can take it daily if we want. We can take it 3 times a day if we want. But he did say, take it as often as you will. And you don't have to have a pastor. You don't have to have any clergy around to do it. You can take it yourself. You know, in the book of Acts, it talks about the disciples. They went daily from house to house breaking bread. They did it all the time. It would be a good thing for us to develop that. But don't do it out of habit. And don't do it out of religious tradition or ritual. But actually, zero in on it and release your faith in it so you can receive the blessings that God wants you to receive from it. Paul said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. The way to discern the body of Christ is to physically take this bread in your hands and look at it and identify the different things about this body. Number one, we'll notice that this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. That's why when he got on the cross, it was legal for him to set us free. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been pounded flat. And Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. It tells us he was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread has holes in it. It's been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for it. You'll notice this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because there was no sin in it. Jesus never made a mistake. We have Adam's blood coursing through our veins. I don't care how good of life you live, you still have Adam's blood in your veins, which means you need Jesus as your Savior. Jesus did not have Adam's blood in his veins. He had the blood of God. Perfectly pure and sinless. That's why Jesus' blood is still alive today. And it's still doing what God sent it to do. It's continually washing us from all sin. Also, that blood of Jesus gives us boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of this blood that we have been put into right standing with God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 16, verse 23. And we're going to be talking about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the most powerful name that's ever been known to man. And he told us to use his name. I'll actually show you later on how he actually gave us power of attorney to use his name. In John chapter 16, verse 23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we've seen that the believer is a brand new creature. When he gets born again, he becomes a brand new creation. He is the righteousness of God. And he has been elevated to a position of high authority in the spirit realm. All believers possess the authority to enjoy faith victories through the use of Jesus' name. This is a promise to all disciples. I struggled with this for a long, long time. Because I'd see somebody do something, I'd see some preacher do something, and I'd say, man, that guy really got it going on. And I'd ask somebody that I trusted, I'd say, how about this guy? And he's got a special anointing. I thought, man, how do I get that special anointing? So I'd go find books by this fella, and I'd read these books, and I'd read these books, and something was always missing. They were good books, but something was always missing. It always had me doing five things or three things or these three things you must do or these five things you must do. They're good things, but you won't succeed. And I kept wondering how these guys kept doing this. I read in the Bible one day where God is no respecter of persons. And that caught my attention. I thought, if God is no respecter of persons, then these things that Peter and Paul and John did, I should be able to do. So I go ask a pastor or somebody I trusted, and I said, oh, no. They were apostles. They had special anointing. But man, there's that thing again. How do I get that special anointing, and how do I get that authority to do what these guys do? You know, I wanted to be of use in the kingdom of God. I wanted to be able to go out into the world, like he said, and preach the gospel and witness to people and get people born again, lay hands on the sick, and see them get healed, cast out devils. I wanted to be able to do those things. And I was trying to figure out what I had to do to get qualified, and I didn't understand that I already was qualified. Religion really got in the way of my spiritual growth for a while. It took a while to get set free from that. Now let's look to Mark chapter 16. Well, before I go there, let's finish up what we were doing here. Jesus told us right there who to pray to and how to pray. Did you get that? In that day you shall ask me nothing. See, at that up to that point, he'd been there with them all the time. And every time they needed something, they just go to Jesus. He was getting ready to leave. He wasn't going to be there physically. So he's telling them how to deal with this, and he's telling them who to pray to. He told them, pray to the Father. Jesus himself said, pray to the Father. He didn't say, pray to Mary. He didn't say, pray to him. He said, pray to the Father. And use my name. He said, use the name of Jesus when we do this. Now here's the really, really cool thing here. In verse 24, he said, ask, you shall receive. He didn't say you might receive it. He didn't say you could receive it. He didn't say anything about it being yes, no, maybe. That yes, no, maybe idea that's been pushed around needs to go away. As far as God's concerned, the promises of God are yes and amen. But here's the kicker. That your joy may be full. He wants you to receive from him so that your joy may be full. How about that? I remember there was a lot of pressure put on people that everything that you did had to have, especially in Bible school, and getting out, if you was associated with being a preacher, everything you did needed to have some kind of a spiritual significance, some kind of a significance towards the ministry or something like that. And man, that was a lot of pressure. You know, that's a bunch of bull. If you want a nice Harley to ride, ask God for a nice Harley to ride. If you want a nice horse to ride, ask God for a nice horse to ride. Well, what spiritual significance does it have? It doesn't have any spiritual significance at all, but it has a lot to do with my joy. Amen. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy in your heart, that joy that comes from Jesus. I'll tell you something. Somehow, the world has managed to confuse this thing. He's our loving Heavenly Father. But somehow, we treat him differently than we would our natural father. And he is different, don't get me wrong. But let me ask you this. If your little kid come up to you and ask you for a bike for Christmas, would you say, do you really need a bike? Is this going to help you get to church? I don't know. I just want to go riding around. What would you say? Yeah, man, let's go get a bike. But somehow we get confused, and since we're talking to God, our Heavenly Father, feels kind of silly to ask for a bike now, doesn't it? That's man-made tradition. If our earthly fathers love us to take care of us, how much more our Heavenly Father? Amen? He's not a tyrant. He's not a slave master. Sure, there's some things that he wants us to do in the kingdom of God, but he wants us to have joy. He wants us to have fun. He wants us to have a fulfilled life. He wants us to have fun things. He wants us to do fun things. He wants us to go fun places. He just doesn't want things and places to have us. He wants us to have those. He wants us to enjoy this whole world. He put it here for us. In fact, he gave us this whole world. Amen? We need to lighten up and let God be God in our lives. Sometimes it would be a good thing to ask yourself, how Christian is your God? See, a lot of people run around acting like they got a loving Heavenly Father that's from the Aaronic priesthood. Oh, that's not going to work. See, Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, which only gives, doesn't take. That's how loving our Heavenly Father is. He's already given us everything. Amen? He's freely given us all things with Jesus. Now we can go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is Jesus talking again. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Did you notice he didn't say anything about anybody having a special anointing? Now, the anointing is important, but he gave us the answer right there. He said, "In my name." In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. This is a curious thing. You can read that over and over and over and over again, and every time it says, "You shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover," did you notice it didn't say anything about saying a prayer of faith? It just said, "Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You know that's possible? You could just lay hands on the sick and they can recover? Without saying a word, that's even better. That gets us all the way out of the way. And it's all about Jesus anyway, isn't it? Well, you know, I just kept struggling with this. And I kept saying, I'd ask these pastors, I'd say, you know, if Peter and Paul could do it, I surely should be able to do it. And they said, no, they were apostles. Now, some of these were word of faith preachers. And then I got so bold as to start thinking that, you know, we should be able to operate in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the main teachings in the word of faith circles is he gives them severally as he will. You know, so then maybe somebody only gets two or three. But that's not the truth. We'll get to that in a little bit. I kept wondering about these guys. And it seemed like every time I thought that I got where I was thinking that we should be able to do what Peter and Paul and them did, I'd get rebuked. But I didn't give up. I kept looking. I knew there was more. See, Jesus said that miracles would follow all believers. He didn't say miracles would follow the fivefold. He didn't say miracles would follow those special anointed rascals out there. He didn't say miracles would follow a select few. He said miracles would follow all believers. I still didn't have enough to anchor my faith there. I could hang on to that, but I didn't quite have the key that I needed to stand up to any preacher in the world. Now, there's not a preacher in the world that can talk me off of this. There's not a preacher in the world that can disqualify me. I don't care if Kenneth Copeland come walking through that door and told me, "You can't do this." I will tell him straight to his face in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "I can do it." Jesus said, "You can do it." See, you don't even have to go to Bible school. Jesus said, "You can do these things." Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 21, before we go to this next verse. Luke 17, verse 21 says, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." You know, the first time I read that verse, that struck a chord with me. I knew there was something to that. And I went and I talked to the pastor about this, and he said, No, that's not what it's saying. It's out there. No, Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God is within you. You know something? When you get born again, God moves inside of you. The kingdom of God is in there. He's in there. The bigger one is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. He is in there. The most creative being that has ever been in this whole universe is inside of you. That's why Jesus said, "You, there are wells of living water that come up out of you. You pray them up out of there. You pray in tongues. You come up with creative ideas." This nation has lost its creativeness. This nation has lost its creative. It's been robbed of its creative ability. And I'll tell you why. Number one, the opportunity to starve has been taken out of the way. There's going to be welfare. There's going to be somebody that's going to give you something. Somebody's going to save you. Somebody out there in the world is going to feed you or take care of you, which is what they want. Somebody's going to figure it out for you. Somebody's going to figure out how to do something for you, which is what people sit around waiting for somebody to figure something out for them. See, when you're a little kid and you're running around playing dolls or playing in the dirt with trucks or being a cowboy or a fire marshal or whatever it is you're doing when you're a little kid running around and you're using your creative imagination. You're building things. You're doing things. You're building roads. You're building dams. You're building bridges. You're doing whatever it is you're doing. But you're using your creative, God-given creative imagination. That ability that God gave you. And then somehow, in the process of life, you get into first grade, they start shaking you awake. Say, you stop daydreaming. You stop daydreaming and you start learning what we want you to know. Now you can understand why we get people that come out of 12 years of high school and 4 years of college and they get into the working world and they cannot figure out how to do anything at all whatsoever. Unless you're right there showing them how to do it. They have lost their creative ability. You see how dangerous this system is that we've been dealing with? In the industrial age, we had a lot of creative ability. People knew there was a possibility of starvation. They had to figure out how to do something. They had to figure out how to make it work. They had to figure out how to live. And there was nobody going to come save them. And look at all the things that happened. It changed this world. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now let's go to the home run here. John chapter 14. See, I struggled with this. I knew I should be able to do the things that these other people did. I couldn't figure out how. And then people would tell me, no, you can't do that. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus himself saying this. He said, verily, verily. You know what that means? That means wake up and pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That clears it up right there. You're 100% qualified to do everything that Jesus did. That settles all the arguments right there. And if you want to know about the special anointing, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that resides on you and in you. That's the very same Holy Spirit that caused Jesus to be able to do all the miracles he did. Jesus never did one miracle until he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How about that? That's the very same Holy Spirit that Jesus operated in. In fact, that's what he relied on. That's the same authority that you have now. See, Jesus said, in my name. That's the power of attorney, to use his name. See, when you take that sheet of paper, the power of attorney papers, and somebody signs power of attorney over to you, now you go and you speak, and when you're speaking, it's as if they're speaking. You write a check in their name, it's as if they wrote the check. Whatever you do in their name, it's the same as if they did it. And it's legally binding. You know, there's a legal side to the Christian world. Did you know that? I'm not talking about a legalistic side. I'm talking about a legal side. Legally, Jesus gave you the power of attorney to sign checks in his name. And the church has been running around signing these checks for $5. Being humble. They're not being humble, they're being foolish. God has already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. He wants you to belly up to his table that he prepared in the presence of your enemies and receive freely from him, from his abundance. You know, he wants you to have too much of everything. That drives religious people absolutely nuts. Just give me enough to pay my bills, feed my family, and, you know, yada, 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 whatever. That's pride. Did you know that? That's pride. And it's selfishness. Just give me enough to take care of me. When God wants you to be overflowing with abundance so that you have more than enough to give to somebody else, give to your neighbor, give, you know, to help somebody else. You know, something about going into all the world and preaching the gospel and praying for sick people, you know, they love it when you pray for them. And they like it when you say nice things to them. You want to really open their eyes, do something. Put food in their hand. Put a coat on them. Put a blanket on them. Do something that they can latch on to. You know, James, he said, it's good that you pray for people, but show me your faith by feeding them and put clothes on them. See, the church has missed it. The church has missed it. They've blown it. Everybody's running to the world, you know. I know the food pantry is a good thing, and people run to the food pantry. People run to the government. People run to wherever they go to, but they don't seem to run to the church. Why? Because the church ain't got nothing. Sometimes people wonder why I got cans of food over there. We got freezers. We're going to get another freezer. People show up. They're hungry. I try to make sure they get some food. You know, sometimes life happens. Sometimes life happens. You know, sometimes people weave when they should have wobbled, and then all of a sudden they don't have any money to buy any food. It's a good thing to go give them some food. Did you know that? That's the church's job, not anybody else's. That's the church's job. And it bugs a lot of church people. Because they have all these reasons why these people are in this mess. But did you know they're not going to get out of that mess without God's help? And sometimes it takes the church doing something to them physically to get their attention. Say, hey, maybe God is my answer. Amen. But Jesus said you can do these things. All the arguing, the doubt and unbelief in the world cannot change what Jesus said there. I don't care how popular a preacher is. I don't care how many millions of viewers he has on TV. I don't care who he is. He cannot change what Jesus said there. You can do the things that Jesus said you could do. I think Jesus is more qualified than anybody else, don't you? I don't think there's ever been a more qualified word of faith preacher ever walked the face of this earth than Jesus. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of the things of God. God said you can do it, you can do it. God said you can have it, you can have it. The only limitations you have on your life are the ones that you have accepted from another man. See, Paul told us that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. See, it's always going to be about Jesus. It's always going to be about that anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's always going to be about God. We're vessels. You know, we're along for the ride. We get to be there and see some cool things happening, but it's not us doing it. See, this is a really cool thing about John 14:12. It puts all the pressure on Jesus, not on us. There was a kind of an attitude when I was starting to get going, is, you know, somebody would call us to pray for somebody, or there was going to be something coming up to pray about, and the attitude was, well, we need, and then we'll pray. And not much happened. Why? Well, all of a sudden you made it about you and your efforts. You know, like, you're going to go pay the price to get the answer for this prayer. You see how that happens? The minute you go do something like that, you've already thrown yourself into the arena of doubt and unbelief. Well, I need to feel that anointing before I pray. You know, we don't go by feeling. We don't go by sight. It's cool when you feel that anointing on you. That's really cool. But there's times I've prayed for people where I felt like a bullfrog sitting on a log. I'm serious. I didn't feel no more anointed than a frog. I would lay hands on them and I'd pray in the name of Jesus and they'd get better. Because Jesus fixed them, not me. Amen? It's not about us, it's about Jesus. The Word's anointed. The name of Jesus is anointed. So what if you don't feel anointed? Pray anyway. It's fun when you do feel anointed, but that's not what we're not. Don't wait for that goosey, bumpy feeling to act on the Word of God. The goosey bumpy feeling, I'll tell you something. You know, the devil can give you goosebumps. True story. Don't go by feelings, you go by the Word of God. Amen. Jesus, let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Wow. Do you think somebody else's unbelief is going to make God's faith of none effect? God forbid. Yeah, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. See, Jesus said, we can do it, then we can do it. And God's not a liar. He said, we can do it, we can do it. We just got to get ourselves out of the way. And here's another thing that we need to think about. Sometimes we need to make sure that we're not preoccupied with our own faith. That happens a lot in the Word of Faith circles. People get preoccupied with their own faith. So focused on their own faith that it becomes about them and not about Jesus. I got to go read my Bible for 4 hours before every sermon. I got to go pray for 5 hours before every sermon. I got to fast for 5 days a month. I got to do this. I got to do those are good things. I promise you those are good things. Those are good things. They'll build you up. They edify you spiritually, but let's be honest. In and of ourselves and our own efforts, we're not much. That's why we run to Jesus. That's why we use the name of Jesus. That's why we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the things we do. That's why we use the name of Jesus. It's all about Him. All those good things are good things to do. They're good. But you're not going to earn anything that you've already been freely given. See, you're going to believe your way into it. You're going to believe on the name of Jesus. That's a good place to start, wouldn't it? And as far as the Holy Spirit, somebody asked one time, said, what's the most important gift of the Spirit that a man can have? Well, the one that the man standing in front of you needs at that time. That's the most important gift that you can have. And so I was kind of hung up on this two or three gifts, as he gives severally. And somebody brought this girl to me, said she needs a miracle. I said, well, I don't operate in miracles. There's a pastor over on the other side of town does. You know how stupid I felt? Literally, I just felt stupid. I thought, why is that the way it is? I'm going to tell you right here and now, you can operate in every single one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. What we're looking for is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Whatever that person needs that's standing in front of you at that time, rely on the Holy Spirit to show up and show off in the name of Jesus to set him free. If he needs a miracle, just go for a miracle. If he needs a word of faith, do that. And whatever he needs, praise God, let God do it. But don't put him in a little box. And then these people running around saying, well, I'm just a pastor, or I'm just a teacher, or I'm just an evangelist, or I'm a this or a that. I got news for you. You're going to be whatever Jesus needs you to be at that given time. See, Paul was an apostle. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. He was an evangelist. He was a prophet. Whatever God needed him to be at that time, that's what he was. Amen. Jesus said, you can do the same things he did. Do you suppose Jesus was an apostle? You better believe it. He's the head of the church. You suppose he was a pastor? He was the great shepherd. Suppose he was a teacher? Nobody could teach like him. Do you suppose he was a prophet? He prophesied. Suppose he was an evangelist? I mean, the guy borrowed a guy's boat and preached to thousands of people without an intercom. Nobody had any trouble hearing him. See what happens when you turn the creative ability of God loose on the inside of you. You can actually do more than what you ever dreamed of. Let God create things inside of you and express them out. It doesn't have to have a religious... It doesn't... Not everything you do has to have some kind of a religious significance. It's okay to have fun. Go out there and have fun. But be yoked with Jesus and witness to people along the way. See, he wants to be a part of your life. In every part of your life. And he wants to create things through you. That's what Jesus is trying to get through our heads. So the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. Go out there and create things. Go out there and make things happen. Amen. Basically, the church world has it boiled down to one group. So you go to church every time the door swings open and you be good and you do this and you do that. You get to have another group, got it boiled down, and you get born again. Well, that's the start. But then you go to church and you do this and you do that. Jesus was trying to set people free from that nonsense. He wanted to let you know, with Him in your heart, the kingdom of God is in there. You can do way more than you ever even imagined. Unfortunately, a lot of people haven't imagined much. Some people are afraid to dream. Some people are afraid to jump out of the boat. And here we are at this crossroads now. We know we have the name of Jesus, and we know we have the kingdom of God on the inside of us. We know we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. What are we going to do with it? You know, we've had a good rainy year. This would be a good time to get in agreement with God and keep this rain going. You know, rain until it's time to start snowing. Then snow until it's time to start raining. Watch this place green up. You know, we could grow more than what anybody even thinks. Somebody walks up to you and says, well, we live in the desert. Say, no, I don't live in a desert. Amen. But people have been trained to believe that. They'll fight you tooth and nail to let it be a desert. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you that this kingdom of God that resides on the inside of us is our creative ability that you gave us. And that with the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can go out and we can make a significant change in this world. We can make a difference in this world. Everywhere we go, we can be the difference that's needed to happen. We can help people. We can set people free. We can meet people's needs. We can be like Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.